You're listening to an interview taken from the Tonic Talk Show and Podcast, heard exclusively on Zoomer Radio. To download or listen to the original episode or other episodes of The Tonic, please visit thetonic.ca.
Lauren J. Fine, BA, LLB, is a well-known and experienced lawyer in Toronto whose practice is solely dedicated to the area of family and divorce law. He graduated from Osgoode Hall Law School and was called to the bar in 1992. He's the senior managing lawyer at Fine & Associates Professional Corporation, Family and Divorce Lawyers. Lauren's been interviewed on several occasions regarding major family law issues in Ontario, including appearances on Global Television, CHCH Television. He was the resident family and divorce lawyer for the radio program Goldhawk Fights Back on this station, AM 740. Welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Thank you for having me.
So there's a phenomenon out there that, you know, people may or may not be aware of, and that is this notion of gray divorce. Yeah. And I'm sure you see that in your practice, yeah?
Well, nowadays it's becoming more and more common.
What is a gray divorce? How would you define it?
A gray divorce refers to, I guess, a demographic trend that relates to the separation of older couples who've been married for a long time. Usually it's people over 50, and the term refers to essentially the hair color of these people. So it's referred to as a great divorce.
I suppose it happens a lot more than people care to think about, yeah? You know, like most people think like divorce happens in the first few years, you make a mistake, you move on. But these people have been together a while typically, right?
Right. So, you know, people ask me like, when do people get divorced? So, you know, sometimes it's a 7-year itch.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's even earlier than that. Sometimes there's a midlife crisis.
Yep.
Or empty nesters. Now you're seeing more and more people who are over 50, over 55, who say, you know, I no longer want to remain in an unhappy marriage. And so it's kind of a new category for people going through divorce.
What's driving it? Like, what are you seeing?
Why is it happening?
Yeah.
Well, there's all kinds of reasons. You know, people, you know, why do people get divorced? You know, usually it's either a communication breakdown or infidelity, financial issues, abuse, physical, emotional. That's the normal basis for people to get divorced. But for a gray divorce, there's a number of reasons. I think one reason is people are living longer, right? So, you know, if people are living till their late 70s or 80s, people start thinking, you know, do I want to live with this person, you know, for the next 30 years? If they're 50, they think, you know, how long am I going to be with this person? People start reevaluating their relationships. And as I said before, you know, there's the empty nest issue. People stick it out for the kids, and they're 55, 50, and they say, okay, enough of this. I think another factor is social stigma. You know, the social stigma surrounding divorce has diminished over the years, and it's easier for people to accept divorce. It's no longer something that's embarrassing. It's easier for people to meet new partners. They go online, and it's easy to hook up again if that's what people want. Also, you know, women are working more. So women are financially independent. They don't have to stay in a bad marriage. Before, women were very dependent on their husbands. And so they stayed in unhappy marriages. That's not necessarily the case anymore.
I would think it's not just that women are working more, it's that people are working longer too, right? So like your life, it's not just you're living longer, but your active years where you're still working and doing all sorts of things, like that's been extended as well.
Right. That goes to your lifespan. So you're working more, you're living longer, and you're, I guess, people are reevaluating their lives. And they no longer have to necessarily stay in a bad relationship, and they can move on. You know, as I said, another reason for some people blame Cialis and Viagra, right? If people are able to move on, and there's drugs to help them have new partners, and then they go for it, then they move on.
I guess, you know, if you have a partner who isn't in the same place, right, who decided, you know, for whatever reason that they're not interested in sex or they're not interested in that aspect of the relationship anymore. I mean, obviously, why, you know, if you are, why would you stay or vice versa, right?
Right.
You know,
people grow apart. I had a case not too long ago where these people were married for almost 40 years and the husband just wanted to windsurf, and he was very fit and active, and the wife just wanted to smoke cigarettes and go to bingo.
Right.
And, you know, they were just, and, you know, after dealing with these people, I realized that really she just wanted more money. And I actually, she wanted more money to go to bingo, and I helped them reconcile, essentially, because they didn't dislike each other. They just were growing apart.
How much money does one need for bingo, Lauren?
I don't know. She was very active. Apparently, it was a daily habit. So, you know, they grew apart. They were very different. But I don't know if they're still together, but they were. I helped them kind of smooth things over.
Good for you.
Yeah. You know, sometimes it's just not worth it. When you're married that long and, you know, they were essentially retired. They didn't have a big pie to divide,
yeah.
You know, so it really, and you know, I knew the kids too, so, you know, it really made sense in that instance to try to make things work. And hopefully it still is working, I don't know.
Yeah, you raise a good point with the pie. Like, you know, for a lot of people, you know, the economic decision, they may not understand what they're getting into in terms
right.
of divorce, right? Because because for most people, I mean, most Canadians, you know, their primary asset is the matrimonial home. And
right.
you know, it's not so easy to live in this great city if you had to divide up the equity in one home and now create two households from it, you know?
Right. Not just that. I don't think people realize as well that their houses are a main asset, but also their pensions are a main asset.
Right.
So, you know, you may have a teacher that's been teaching for 30 years, and their pension's worth well over $1 million, right? And all of a sudden they have to divide that, and their retirement income would substantially decrease, and their plans would have to change substantially. So, you know, there's all kinds of financial impact of having a great divorce.
What else is out there that people may not understand that are implications of a great divorce?
People may not understand. Well, also, there's, as we said, there's property. So you have to divide your property in the event of a separation. And
right.
you have to look at all your property, right? You have to, you're dividing the difference in the increase in your net worth from the date of marriage to the date of separation. So it's not just cutting it down the middle and say 50-50. It's more than that because there's all kinds of complicated rules. Otherwise, no one would need a lawyer. So it can get very complicated. And it's really something that people should, if they are considering going through a separation or divorce, they should consult with somebody, a family law individual that is experienced in divorce law, and to help them through it, because it can get very complicated. And it's also, you have to plan ahead, right? It's because their earnings potential is reduced.
Right.
And as we said, the pie is reduced. They're not going to accumulate more assets. Like, it's highly unlikely.
Yeah, I would have thought, like, the income is the huge issue, right? Like, if you get a divorce in your 30s, you still have most of your career ahead of you, right?
Correct.
So you can sort of say to yourself, okay, you know, I'm going to take this financial hit now,
right.
if that's a factor in your decision. But hey, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I've got this business, I'm a professional.
Right.
Or, you know, if you're the person who's earning less, you know, maybe you go back to school and you get a degree and you earn more because you're on your own.
Right.
But when you make that decision in your 50s or 60s, well, that's probably not going to happen, right?
Right. And it's not just income, it's also assets, right? It's highly unlikely you're going to rebuild your estate.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right. You know, I would also get a financial consultant to look at your circumstances and to, like a lot of women, you know, it's true that there's a lot of women who really are in the dark about their finances. Their husband may control maybe the income earner and may control all the assets and liabilities. So really, women should, if they are considering going through a divorce, you know, learn about their financial circumstances, learn about the assets and liabilities and where everything is and what their spouse makes, so they are more informed. So that's very important to recognize.
Yeah, I would imagine one aspect that makes it easier is if you're doing a great divorce, you know, child support, you know, becomes less of an issue, right?
Well, usually if they're, you know, the kids are adults, then it's not an issue.
Right.
But spousal support is an issue, right? Spousal support can be very difficult because essentially if it's a long-term marriage and it's a traditional marriage, then support is indefinite, right? It will last the whole life. So, for instance, a husband would have to pay a wife support for the rest of their life. But if the husband's circumstances change, if they have a pension and that's divided, then that's going to impact how much support can be paid. There's a case called Boston and Boston. It's a case dealing with double dipping in that, you know, a spouse can't get a piece of the pension and then expect to get support from that pension as well.
Right.
So there's all kinds of important circumstances to consider.
All right. If somebody is contemplating a divorce, what other advice would you give them?
I would tell them that they should get a family lawyer to guide them through the process. that they should try to negotiate a resolution. You know, very few people want to actually go to court and have a battle at that age.
At any age, truthfully.
At any age, litigation is not fun.
It's
so,
awful.
You know, try to negotiate, try to mediate. If they're planning on getting remarried, they should have a cohabitation agreement or a marriage contract. There's a case called Kerrigan and Kerrigan Estates where a spouse died unexpectedly early at 57, and he had a first wife, and he wasn't divorced from his first wife. He had no separation agreement from his first wife, but he also had a common law spouse at the same time, and they battled over his estate. Had he had a separation agreement from his first spouse, it would have made things a lot easier for a second relationship. So, you know, there's important things to consider if you have a new relationship to, you know, tie up loose ends and, you know, understand what your finances, what your, you know, everyone is going to die. It's a matter of just preparing for it and protecting your family.
Right. And, you know, I practiced law as a litigator for 20 years, and I never touched family law. I don't have the personality for it, but I'm not one of the, you're not a touchy-feely guy either, but I in particular am not suited for that. But also, family law is very unique because it's almost like quicksand. The law changes very rapidly as opposed to other areas of practice. So, you know, you can find somebody who dabbles in family law, but you really are better off going with somebody who really knows what they're doing and is up on the law, because it can make a huge difference to the end result.
It can make a very big difference. That's all we do. All we do is family law. You know, lawyers that dabble on it, you know, they may do real estate, they may do criminal. You really want to have somebody whose focus is purely family law and does it every day. And, you know, I'm not so touchy-feely, you're right. I have other lawyers in my office that aren't touchy-feely.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me, it's a matter of getting good results and negotiating rather than litigating, and hopefully the client, to make the process as painless as possible.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're going to come back next month, right?
Whenever you want me.